Welcome, everybody. I hope everyone had a wonderful Pesach. Now that Pesach has ended, we're in Yimei Spiras HaOmer. For those living in Eretz Yisrael, Yimei Spiras HaOmer is a very it's a time which is packed with many commemorations, from Pesach to Yom HaShoah, which is being commemorated tonight and tomorrow, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaut, Lag BaOmer, Yom Yerushalayim, then Shavuot. However, the overriding throughout the whole period, we were all dealing with the Avelus, the mourning of Spiras HaOmer. We're dealing with the Avelus of Spiras HaOmer. And the Avelus of Spiras HaOmer, I think we have to understand on many levels. First of all, what are we trying to accomplish? Number one, when it comes to the Avelus of the 3 weeks, that from Shivasu B'Tamuz until Tisha B'Av, there were noeg not to have chasanas, from noeg not to take haircuts. So that's already understood, the point of the Avelut, the point of the mourning. Because, as my uncle pointed out in the Rambam, we have to realize there's something wrong, there's something missing in our lives. You know, Baruch Hashem, many of us live in Eretz Yisrael, we have wonderful houses, wonderful batei kenesiot, we have wonderful schools, and Baruch Hashem, in general, we're living in security, and even for those Jews living in Chutz Laaretz, there's so much going on for the communities. Sometimes it's easy to forget that there's something missing in the life of the Jews. So therefore, for 3 weeks and all those fast days, we have to fast, we have to mourn, in order to remember, to remind us, there's something missing in our lives. And hopefully through the process of Avelut during the 3 weeks, it will cause us to realize what's missing and to daven, to do tshuva. And in that respect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Geula Shleima. However, when it comes to the Sphira, to Avelut of Sphira Saomer, where essentially, the way the Minhag began actually, we're mourning the fact that Rabbi Kiva's 24,000 Talmidim passed away, they died, or they were killed, as I'll get to in a few minutes. So, it was a terrible tragedy. It was a terrible tragedy for the Torah. And also, later on, in the time of the Rishonim, so it's historically, the first custom, as we'll see, was just not to get married. That was first. And that was mentioned from the time of the Gaonim. Later on, in the time of the Rishonim, after the Crusades, then they added on not to get haircuts during Sfirat HaOmer. But originally, the minhag was only not to have weddings during Sfirat HaOmer, as we'll see in a few minutes. However, we're mourning Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying, we're mourning the fact that there were Crusades, and the question we have to ask ourselves, I understand we want to show our Avelut, but what's our goal? What's our goal? Our goal is to have more respect for the Torah. We know that our goal is not, we can't bring back Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, and Baruch Hashem, we have Manhigim, as we will see, there were 5 minutes of Rabbi Kiva who took the bull by the horns and were able to spread Torah in Klal Yisrael. What are we trying to accomplish during Sfirat HaOmer? It's a question. What are we trying to accomplish? Why are we doing this? This is a question, as I mentioned in my shir before Pesach, we always have to ask ourselves when we're doing a mitzvah. So mitzvot, we're doing because it's the Tzivu Yashem, but many mitzvot, and certainly mitzvot to Rabbanon, we have to ask, besides the process, what are we trying to accomplish? So therefore, as we begin the Avelut, the Sfirat HaOmer, we have to try to understand what are we trying to accomplish. What is the Avelut, the mourning of Sfirat HaOmer, going to do for us? That's one question. A second question is that the whole Avelut, the Sfirat HaOmer, is strange. Why do I say it's strange? When it comes to the 3 weeks, so we know it's very clear. The Avelut starts in Shivas Shabbatamuz. Most posts can feel it starts Shivas Shabbatamuz at night, or the 17th of Tammuz at night. There might be a kula that maybe it only starts in the morning. We know it starts Shivas Shabbatamuz, the 17th of Tammuz, and goes until Tisha B'Av, or I should say until the middle of the day, the 10th of Av. When it comes to Sfirat HaOmer, then there are many different opinions. There are some opinions who begin to count the Avelut from the second day of Pesach until Lag BaOmer. And there are those who start the Avelut from Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Some start from the first day, some start from the second day. I think there are those who might start from Beis Iyar, and they go to Shoshan Mehagbalah till the 3 days before Shavuot, and then they take a break for Lag BaOmer. And there are different customs. These customs are mentioned by the Poskim. Now, so the Mishnah Brura And obviously a person can choose whichever custom he wants. You know, obviously it's better to choose the custom that his family has had. However, there's a reason why he has to switch one year, because he has to go to a certain simcha. He's certainly out of switch. However, the Shulchan Aruch points out that a person cannot be noeg heter b'shteihem, which means a person can't say, you know, I will not keep the avela to svirat ha'omer until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then come lag ba'omer, I'll stop. You have to do one or the other, either from the second day of Pesach to lag ba'omer, or from Rosh Chodesh Iyar to Shloshes Hagbalah with lag ba'omer as a break, one day break. However, the Mishnah Berurah, which is in source number 7, he points out in Siman Tav Tzadik Gimel that a person would be allowed, if a person wants, he is allowed to go ahead and take both chumrot. In other words, if a person wants, he can go ahead and start Avelut on the second day of Pesach and go until Shavuot with Lag BaOmer as a break. And he says, and even though we know that there's a Gemara which says that, you know, if you have a Shita, stick with the Shita, right? And therefore, if one opinion, this opinion is Machmir, and another opinion, this opinion is Mekel, so you should be Machmir like him and Mekel like him, and a person can choose. I mean, obviously to choose, you have to be someone who knows how to choose. But someone wants to go like Beit Shammai can go like Beit Shammai, the Gemara says. Someone wants to go like Beis Hillel can go like Beis Hillel. A person who decides to go with the kulot of Beit Shammai and the kulot of Beit Hillel to be lenient like Beit Shammai, and lenient like Beit Hillel. So then the Gemara says that's a Rasha. Okay? A person who decides that he wants to be Machmir, see, he's a Ksil, he's a fool. Okay, now this person wants to be Machmir for every single Shita, so he could be a fool. So the Mishnah Berurah says when it comes to Sfirat HaOmer, he says, You're not a person who decides to take both chumrot. He says he's not a ksil holech b'choshech. He's not a fool because he only is doing it because of a suffix, because he's not sure what he should do. Okay. He says, however, the truth is that I actually, in terms of the minog, let's say for example, there are people who know what their shita is. However, they will still keep the whole custom from the second day of Pesach until Shavuos of Lag BaOmer in the middle. And the question is why? All of a sudden, when it comes to Lag BaOmer, which is not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Mishnah or in the Tosefta, all of a sudden we can be Machmir when it comes to Avel to Sfira to Omer. Why? Why is it so important? So that... He says you can be Machmir. So you can't make you have to keep one time, you have to choose one Shita, right? But if someone wants to be Machmir for the whole time period, he's allowed to be Machmir. You know, we don't say about him, you know, he's a Shota, he's allowed to be Machmir. The question is why? Why? So and hopefully as we go through the sugya, so hopefully I'll be able to answer both questions, you know, why are there so many different opinions? What are we supposed to get out of it? What's the end goal for the Avelut? And what I'm going to say today is based on a shiur my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, gave in the late 60s. I don't know, 68, 67, 69. I don't think he gave it since then. I wasn't at the shiur, but I heard from him afterwards about what he said at the shiur. And it's certainly a different, fresh approach to the Avelut, the Sefirat HaOmer, which comes from some of the Rishonim. So first of all, I'd like to start with the first mention of this custom. So the other point I want to make is let's go on. So if you look at the source number 1 from the Ritzkeus and from the Gaonim, and he says that uminach v'chol Yisrael, it's a custom from all Jews not to get married beim Pesach la'atzeres. So you see, in the time of the Gaonim, the custom was already not to get married between Pesach and Shavuot. That was the custom. It was the whole time. Umishum aveilusahu. And it's because of aveilus, the lo mishum isserhu. He says, and not because of isser. It's not usser. It's not like a minhag. It's not usser. He says, and the goes on and plays the story that Rabbi Lakiva had 12,000 groups of students, and they all died between Pesach and Shavuot. Why? Because they didn't give kavod one to another, And it says, "Vekula mesu ba'asakra." They died from there was a problem with their lungs, with breathing. Umiyosu shava elech. And from that time on, it's very interesting. From that time on, nagulis abel aleihem. So from the time, even though this is not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Tosefta, and this custom is not mentioned in the Medrash. However, the Ritz Gaya says that this was a custom that the Jews accepted upon themselves from the time this happened. From the time this happened. And he says, and what's usur? He says, what's usur? And the whole minhag is not to get married. And only nisuin, marriage, is usur. Okay, nisuin. In other words, when it comes to marriage, there are two parts to the marriage. There's the erusin, the first part, kedushin, and there's nisuin. Today, at the weddings, we do them both together. Yes.
Minhugei b'chol Yisrael.
Yeah.
That really isn't true.
The truth is, listen, I want to tell you, this is what he felt in the time of the Gaonim, and even though the Rambam doesn't mention it, I think that the Rambam knew this was also a minhag, I think, in his time. What can I say? In his time...
That's what he said.
Minim v'chol Yisrael. But they were the Gaonim, and that's what they said. Minim v'chol Yisrael. So he says, from that time and on, Nagulis Avale, there's a custom ready to mourn, right, from that time. And he says, only Nisuin. If, in other words, the betrothal part, which they used to separate by a year from the Nisuin part, that you could have during the Sefiras HaOmer, because the Ikar Simcha is Bechuppah at the time of the Chuppah. And let's say, for example, someone has a wedding during Sefiras HaOmer. Are you supposed to say, I'm not going, I'm going to make a macha, I'm going to protest? He says, no. Someone has a wedding, you go to the wedding. But if someone asks a shayla, can I get married? He says, tell him not to. He says, because why? Because it's a minhag Yisrael, and since the minhag Yisrael, we shouldn't go ahead and try to stop a minhag Yisrael. Now, it's interesting, the lashon that's used, because we know there are minhagim from Chazal. Let's say, for example, saying halal on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag from Chazal. But I think that what the Ritz Gaius is pointing out is, this, the status of this custom is a status that's at a lower level than the custom of halal. It's a different type of custom. It could be that the minhag of halal Rosh Chodesh, maybe the Amoraim started that minhag, and this minhag, maybe the Hamonam started the minhag. I don't know. The people started the minhag, but he basically says this is a minhag from the time of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying. And if you look at number two, Tshuvas HaGaonim, see, he says, and there they asked the question. Someone asked the question to the Gaonim. You asked, why aren't you Mekadesh? Why don't you have a wedding between Pesach and Atzeres? He says, it's not because of this, it's because of Minog. Because the Chum said, again, the story of Rav Kiva's Talmidim. He says, and they all died, again, of this terrible disease. He says, and the Minog was, from the time Rav Kiva's Talmidim died, they already were knowing not to get married, and so on. Again, the same idea as the Ritz Gaya says. So he says, so therefore, that Kamgon are pointing out is the minhag began from the time of the Gemara of the Tanoim. However, it's not as strong a minhag as, let's say, another minhag which you might be over an issur if you don't keep the minhag which Chazal were koveya. Now, one of the questions you have to ask is, so if this was from the time of Rabbi Akiva, why isn't it mentioned in the Gemara? Why isn't it mentioned in the Medrash? It's a riddle, and I don't think that, you know, we'll ever know. However, there is a hypothesis some people suggest, and whether this is the real reason. However, if you look at source number 3 from the Geres from Shri Ragon, most people feel that Rav Akiva's Talmidim died. They died. They had a terrible sickness, and they died. And that's what the Gemara says. They died from a sakra. Rav Shri Ragon says it's not what happened. Against the Gemara, Rav Shri Ragon says, in number 3, that they died. Why? So he says, v'havish shmada. It was a shas hashmad. In other words, the shas hashmad, remember, Rabbi Kiva lived at the time of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. And you have to understand, after the time of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, or during the time, the Romans wanted to destroy Torah and Klal Yisrael. And therefore, for that reason, it could be that Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim were somehow, and historians suggest, and I actually heard, if I remember correctly, I actually heard my father that he felt that this could be a correct theory, we'll never know. Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, they were actually soldiers in Bar Kokhba's army. And therefore, when it says it was a shmada, what it means is that they died in the war of Bar Kokhba, which makes sense because if you think about if 24,000 Hamina Rabbi Kiva died, 700 people a day, that's a large number. But if they were killed in a war, it's much more logical to accept that. And now we can understand why does the Gemara say that? It's very simple, because the Roman government, the Babylonian government, were very weary of the Jews rebelling. And therefore, the Gemara did not want to say, historians suggest this, did not want to write down the real reason because it looked like the Jews have a rebellious nature. So for that reason, they kept it quiet what really happened. And that's why Rosh Shira Gaon says they actually died because of Shmad. They died because of Shmad. And that's the reason why maybe the Gemara does not mention Rabbi Akiva's telling them dying, and the Medrash doesn't mention, and they don't mention the Minhag of Avelut, because it looks like the Jews are mourning over the end of the rebellion, and they didn't want to put a high profile on the Jews rebelling. Right, that's one suggestion. However, still, we have to really understand what is it, why is it that this is not, you know, maybe we have another approach. Why isn't this mentioned in the Gemara? And then also, I would like to add, so that's Rosh Shira Gaon. Then if you look at number four, the Tur in Siman Tzadik Gimel says, Noah Gim B'chol Mekom, once again, like the Gonim, the Minig in all places was not to get married between Pesach and Atzeres, and he mentions the reason. And then, in the middle, he says the Torah adds on v'yesh mekamos, and the Torah holds the minig not to get married was a minig from Pesach to Shavuos. That was it, minig Pesach to Shavuos. And then he says there was a minig in some places not to take a haircut. In other words, the minig of not taking a haircut, that was added on later in the time of the Rishonim, and that was only in certain places. And it could be that the minig of not taking a haircut was actually added during the time of the Crusades, so it could be only those lands, those countries affected by the Crusades, really added this minig. Now, obviously, this minig has affected every single Jew, but this was a minig that was added, this is a minig that was added later on. So we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we have to keep adding? You know, we have one custom, not to get married. And we have another custom, that we added a custom that we shouldn't go ahead and get a haircut. Okay, and now when it comes to Sfiras Omer, you know, after hundreds of years, there are so many Yisurim that have been added. But if you look at the Rishonim, one was not to get married. That was from the time of the Gemara, maybe, according to the Gaonim. And the second custom was basically a custom not to take haircuts. So we have to understand why do we have to go ahead and add minhagim. The last question I want to speak about, and that is the source of Lag BaOmer, which I don't have an answer to. Okay, where did it come from? How did it become a holiday? Why it's celebrated in this way? But if you look at the Gaonim, you look at the Ritzkeis, you look at the Tshuvas HaGaonim, you look at the Tur. The Tur says that when it comes to marriage, a person should not get married between Pesach and Shavuos, with no exception of Lag BaOmer. When it comes to haircuts, there he says some people have a minhag to take a haircut after Lag BaOmer. After Lag BaOmer, but getting married. Now the custom obviously is we have weddings on Lag BaOmer. Yeah, and Lag BaOmer. But in the days of the Gaonim, it wasn't that way. Actually, the truth is that I know that my father, actually, even though he kept the second minhag from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Shavuos with Lag BaOmer in the middle, he didn't like, he would go to a wedding that someone had, but when it was a question of making a family wedding, he wouldn't make it before Rosh Chodesh Iyar, only Lag BaOmer, Rosh Chodesh Mehagbala, because the original takana was not to get married between Pesach and Shavuos. But where did Lag BaOmer come up? So in number nine, the Meiri mentions, because it's not mentioned by the Gaonim, the Meiri mentions Lag BaOmer. And what is Lag BaOmer? So he says, the Meiri says that in the Seches Yevamos, the Meiri says that Lag BaOmer was the Kabbalah from the Gaonim that on Lag BaOmer they stop dying. And because of that, Lag BaOmer is a very happy day, so we don't fast, and we're knowing certain type of simcha. It's very strange. 24,000 Talmidim died, and the day they stopped dying, so we're knowing simcha.
So this is the first source.
What, for Lag BaOmer? The Meiri says that it's a Kabbalah from the Gaonim. The Gaonim don't mention it, but the Meiri says it's a Kabbalah from the Gaonim. And you see, if you look, the Maril, he also struggled with this whole idea of Lag BaOmer, where it comes from, because the Maril also didn't know where Lag BaOmer came from. Okay, so now let's try to understand why there's Avelus Sefiras Omer, a little different than we've always heard all through the years. So I want to deal with two Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Shivoli Halakit. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim, he points out that, he says, he asked the question, why don't we say Shechiyonu on the mitzvah Sefiras Omer? Right? It's a question Rishonim asked. And he says, because there's really no simcha when you do the mitzvah of Sefiras Omer. There's no simcha. So when someone does the mitzvah of Pinyan HaBen, and now, Baruch Hashem, we know that the baby is not going to be in Nathal, he's already past 30 days, so it brings joy, so we should make a bracha of Shechiyonu. But he says, why should we make a bracha of Shechiyonu? How can we not make a bracha of Shechiyonu on Sefiras Omer? Because Sefiras Omer, he points out, does not bring happiness. Why does it bring happiness? Because he says, what's the Sefiras Omer counting? The Korban Omer. What's the Korban Omer? The Korban Omer is the Omer that comes from barley. Okay? He says, and the barley, he says, what kind of Korban is barley? Barley is a Korban, he says, which is the same Korban that was given to the Sota. A lady who was accused by her husband of incestual behavior, of adultery. So it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically telling us to bring the same korban, and he's accusing us of this kind of act, and therefore, how can we say Shechiyonu during this time period? And he said, for that reason, he says, we don't get married. He says, the reason why we don't get married is because, basically, Sefiras HaOmer is a time of din. He says, that's why we let our hair grow. Why? Because it's a time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a time of din. And then he goes on, and he says, and even though that they say a different time, but this is the real reason. It's not because Rav Akiva's Talmidim. The real reason is because Sefiras HaOmer is a time of din. That's basically the time where we're sort of being treated like a sota. So for that reason, we don't say Shechiyonu, and also we have to be noeg avelut. So so we have to understand that the Chachamim gave a different reason, not the true reason. Why? How can we understand that? Okay, and if you look at the Shivoli Haleket, he also takes a similar approach. Shivoli Haleket, in source number 12, mentions all the customs of Sefirat HaOmer, and then he says, he quotes his brother Reb Binyamin. Many times the Shivoli Haleket quotes his brother Reb Binyamin. And he says, what's the reason we don't get married in Pesach and Shavuos? You see, the Rishonim struggle with that also. They also struggle with the Rishonim. They're asking, like, what's with this Avelus, this mourning? Where does it come from? The Rishonim struggled also. So he says like this. He says, the reason is because there's a Mishnah in Meseches Edios. The Mishnah Meseches Edios, which is source number 13, it's Perek Bey's Mishnah Yud. The Mishnah there says that there are five things that last for 12 months. What are they? Five events. The first event is the Dor HaMabul. The Mabul, the water, Noach being in the Teva, lasted for 12 months. Mishpat of Eov. Eov was judged for 12 months. The Mitrim, they were judged for 12 months. Gog u'Magog will be judged for 12 months. And also, someone who's a Rasha, his judgment in Gehenna will be for 12 months. For that reason, we know that Jewish people in general don't say Kaddish for a parent for more than 11 months. Why? Because we know that Baruch Hashem, all Jewish parents, are not Rishayim. So therefore, we don't want to say Kaddish for 12 months. We don't be Rasha, but says the Mishpat Rishayim is for 12 months. Along comes the very end of the Mishnah. Where does he learn it out from? How do we know that the Mishpat HaRishayim is for 12 months? in Gehenna. Who told us? So it's based on a pasuk, because it says, "V'ha'yam midei chodesh v'chadsho." The pasuk in Yeshaya it says will be from 1 month to the next month, right? And then immediately afterwards, it says that Yavo lishtachavod, you'll come to bow before Hashem. So in other words, so a person will be in Gehenna. His time of Mishpat Gehenna will be from 1 month till the same month a year later. Then he'll come before Hashem. So he'll leave Gehenna, it symbolizes going before Hashem. Okay? And that's what we know is really accepted, not la halacha, but that's what we said, that's the hashkafa that's believed, that the Mishpat of a Rosh is 12 months. And we assume that all good people don't last that long in Gehenna, that they come out earlier. But along comes Rav Yochanan ben Nuri with an amazing statement. And Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, the Mishpat Rishayim, the Gehenna, is not 12 months. It's Pesach until Shavuos. Vina Pesach v'arat Tzeres. Okay? That's what he says. And why? Because the same Pasuk there says, Midei Shabbat b'Shabbato, from Shabbos to Shabbos. And we know that the first day of Pesach is called Shabbos, because the Torah says, why does it phrase B'chmachra to Shabbos? And also, obviously, that Shavuos is Machras HaShabbos HaShavuos. So, Shavuos is the day after Shabbos, so the Mishpat Rishayim in Gehenna is from Pesach to Shavuos. And that's a very difficult shita. So what does that mean? Does that mean that if God forbids someone passes away in Chodesh Cheshvan, we say, you know, let's hang out a little bit, you know, you need to be judged, but you know, Gehenna's not open yet, okay? You know, come back, for the Seder. After the Seder, we'll take care of you. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean from Pesach to Shavuos? But anyways, that being said, we'll come back to that. He says, so this is the reason that we have Avelus during Spiras Omer. Why? Because since according to Yochanan ben Nuri, Gehenna, a person, Gehenna is from Pesach to Shavuos, therefore we have to have Avelus during those months. Wow, we have to have Avelus because there are people being judged in Gehenna. Like, what does that mean? And second of all, we know we don't pasuk of Yochanan ben Nuri. You're pasuking like the Tanagama. We assume Gehenna is 12 months. So first, we understand Yochanan ben Nuri Shita. What does it mean that a time person spends in Gehenna is from Pesach to Shavuos? What does that mean? Second of all, he says, Rabbi Yaman says, the reason why we mourn, we have mourning during this time period, is in order that because the Jewish people are being punished in Gehenna them. So why should I go ahead and mourn? What does it have to do with anything? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is Rabbi Yaman says we're passing like a shita. We're basing our whole custom based on a shita that we don't passing like. And then what happened to Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim dying? Why don't we say the real reason? So my father explained, and I'll say this, that, you know, many times when Chazal give a reason for something, a certain takana, there are two questions that you have to ask. Number one is, why did Chazal make this takana? And number two, how did it work? In other words, you know, it wasn't that Chazal wanted to make things difficult for Klal Yisrael. You know, they said, okay, let's see what we can do today. Let's think of another chumrah to do. That's not what Chazal did. Chazal did, there was a reason why they had to make a halacha, they had to make a mitzvah drabbanan, this is drabbanan. And even once they made the mitzvah, it had to work. They had to show a process how it works. It wasn't magic. It was based on maybe a din d'oraisa, it was based on something, it's on the Torah, but it wasn't magic. They had to say how it works. And there's actually And as we'll see, that sometimes Chazal would give different reasons for something, which wasn't really the real reason. So you'll ask me, how could we say that Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died? Right? Because of that, we have this custom. If it's for other reasons, it's because it's a time of din. If it's because of Yochanan ben Nuri Shita, that the Mishpat of Rishayim and Gehenna, that's from Pesach to Shavuos. Why? Well, why don't we give the real reason? We'll see other cases that sometimes Chazal would give different reasons than was really the true reason. For example, there's a Mishnah Meseches Yedayim that there was always arguments between the Tzedukim and the Purushim. The Purushim were ones who followed Torah Shebal Peh. They had Amunas Chachamim. And the Tzedukim were those who wanted to translate the Torah literally. And in general, they translated the Torah and explained the Torah in a way which would make the Torah more comfortable for them. So throughout the Gemara, you'll see debates. And one of the Tanoim, who was usually very involved in debates, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Mishnah Yadayim tells a story. He wants to dupe the Sadukim. Said Rav Yochanan ben Zakeh to the Berushim, they said, I don't understand something, he says. He says, Kisvei HaKodesh, what's greater, what's holier than a Chumash, than a Navi, than Ksuvim? And we know that if a person touches Ksuvim, a Navim, a Chumash, it's Metameis Yadayim. And if I go ahead and touch a secular book, I touch the secular books of those days, it's not Matame the Yadayim. So this takana that you made doesn't make any sense. Why does it make any sense? Because you should make, you know, the Svarim Chitzonim, those Svarim of New Torah to be tam, make you Tame. Why should the book of Torah make you Tame? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to them, let me ask you a question. Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Everyone loved Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Everybody. You touch Yochanan Kohen Gadol, you know you're going to become Tommy. After he dies, you know he's going to be Tommy. You go ahead and touch a bones of a chamor that died. There's no tumor. So he says, the atzmos, the atzmos, the bones. So he says, the atzmos, chamor tahorim. He says, why? So he said, it's simple. Because lefi chibason he tumason, that he said. Because if Yochanan Kohen Gadol will not become tamei, you know, we keep him around after he died, and it's not really a cover to keep him around. So therefore, they made this din of tumah. So when a person dies, they'll bury him to put him away. So people, because otherwise it's very painful to see, you know, this around all the time. Lefi chibason, he says the same thing. He says, you know why? You know why the Tanakh is tamei? Lefichi basam. The more you love the books, the more you love the books. She says, so the more tumah it has. Why? As the Rav Avad Martinura points out, because we don't want people to go ahead and to use the books all the time for maybe, for example, to put them on animals to sit on. You know, the book is very beloved to me. I want to keep me all the time. So therefore, in order to make sure you treated the books properly, they nave a tumah. Okay, and Sifrei Horm, the secular books. If you don't treat it properly, that Chazal we're not concerned about. So the Talmid of Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, that's not the reason why. Like, where does that come from? The reason why the books are Tamei is for a totally different reason. Why? Because when the Kohanim had Truma, and they wanted to keep the Truma safe, where do they put the Truma? The safest place in the house. What was the safest place in the house? Where the Kisvei HaKodesh were. Okay, where the Svarim, the Sifrei Tanakh were. And what would happen? So the mice who wanted to eat, they would smell the food, they'd go after the Truma, and in the process they would ruin the Svarim. So Chazal made a din of Tuma on Svarim because they didn't want the Jews to keep the Svarim with the wheat, with the Truma.
Why so, did they tell him this reason?
So because he felt, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai basically felt that the Tzedukim would not accept the reason, and therefore he had to give them a reason they would accept. Okay, that was it. Okay, and the truth is the Tzedukim weren't interested in necessarily the truth; they were interested in having a fight, and therefore he felt to give them another reason. Another example, we'll see that sometimes, let's say, so sometimes Chazal, Mekatakana, there's a reason why they do it, okay? And there's a reason how it works. So here, of Yochanan ben Zakkai, there was a reason why, but he didn't give the right reasons. You see, sometimes Chazal, for whatever reason, might not give the correct reason. Very rarely it happens, but it happens. There's another very interesting Gemara. There's a Gemara, the Gemara Maseches Gittin, a little halachic. Gemara says like this. That there are three halachas, three takanot. Gemara Maseches Gittin, Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, source number 18. There are three takanot, three enactments that Chazal made, that it's a reason, kehilchas below taima. There's no reason for these takanot, for these enactments. No reason. What are they? So Gemara says, the reason are, number one, so I'll list the reasons. So, number one is Mai Mitzlashtan. The second reason is if someone goes ahead and appoints, puts his wife to be in charge of all his possessions after he dies, gives it over to her, so she's basically not the trough, it's just the guardian. And the third reason is that the third takana is someone marries off, his son in a certain house. So that means that the house belongs to his son. There's the three reasons. Why the Chazal make these riffs? Mayim et shloshim means like this. Let's say, for example, Reuven owes Shimon money. Okay? And Shimon owes Levi money. Reuven owes Shimon, and Shimon owes Levi. So Reuven, instead of giving the money to Shimon, can go ahead and do what with it? Give it straight to Levi. That's called Mayim et shloshim. Chazal said, I don't have to go through a whole process. I don't have to give it straight to Shimon. I can give it to Levi, and that's fine. That's my, and that's kehilchas of lo taima. A second takana that's kehilchas of lo taima is that if someone goes ahead and is kosev, gives all his possessions to his wife, right, and doesn't leave anything over for his son, right? He says, so that means really all he did, he has a son and a wife, he says, and he gives all his possessions to his wife before he dies, doesn't leave anything for his son. Basically, Chazal felt he was just pointing his wife to be a guardian. Why? Because a person would generally not go ahead and not leave any possessions for his son. So why did he give over all his possessions to his wife? He was trying to give her kavod, make her feel good. He made her the guardian. And the third takana is that if someone marries off his daughter to a girl in his house, so that house now belongs to the son. Why? Again, because he wanted the wife, his new wife, to know that his son, right? His son will take care of her. His son has a house. He's secure. He'll take care of her. So Tosus asks, what does it mean, hilchas b'lo taima? They have three very good reasons. The reason why, if Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon owes Levi, Reuven gives straight to Levi, because why should you go through a whole tircha of Reuven giving to Shimon giving to Levi, give it straight to Levi. So there are reasons for it. So Tosfos says, in Maseches Gittin, Yud Aleph, source number 19, Tosfos says, the reason is that he says that because there are two reasons, when Chazal make a takana, again, there's a reason why they made it, and a reason how it works. And almost all takanot have to ask both questions. Why did they make this takanot? How does it work? These three, we know why they made this takanot. We don't know how it works. But everything else, we know why and we know how. So now we understand that when it comes to making a takana, we always have to ask the question, why did Chazal make this takana? And how did they make, how does it work? So now if we come back to Rabbeinu Yerucham Neshibali Halakit. And again, just to remind you of all the major question, and then we'll try to answer it. All the Rishonim, the Gaonim, they say the reason why we mourn during this time period is in order to remember what happened to Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Okay? Along come the Shiboli Alekit, Rabbi Yerucham, they say, no, two totally different reasons. Either because it's a time of din, because we're compared to the Isha Sota, so therefore we want to show our sadness, right? Or it's because of the fact that the Rishayim are judged during this time. So what does it mean Rishayim are judged during this time? So my father wanted to explain, it doesn't mean that Rishayim are judged in Gehenna between Pesach and Atzeres. He says, that would be ludicrous. Because we know Maimri Chazal about certain Rishayim, Haman, Titus HaRasha. They're being judged the whole year, they're still being judged, whatever that means. They're being judged. So what does it mean? So he says what it means is that a person is judged based on his behavior, how he acts between Pesach and Atzeres. Why? Because between Pesach and Atzeres is a very important time of year. Because this is the time of Hachana LeKabbalat HaTorah. We're supposed to prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. And we know actually this is one of the reasons Rishonim say about Sefirah. Why Sefirah? Because when the Jews left Mitzrayim and we left on the 400th level of Tumah, and we have to build ourselves back up. We have to work on ourselves. And therefore every day we work on ourselves to make ourselves a little better so we can prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. That's the reason for Sefirah Sa'omer. And therefore he says a person has to take this time and work on himself. And however a person acts during this time, this is going to affect his behavior for the rest of the year. And that's what it means. Mishmer Rishayim Gehenim is 12 months, yeah, because we have to behave 12 months of a year. And therefore we're judged for those 12 months also. Yochanan Nuri says it's true. We're judged for the behavior of 12 months. But we have to put a special emphasis on this time period, the 49 days in Pesach and Atzeres. Because during this time period, what happens is we have to work on ourselves. We have to go ahead and build ourselves up, and spiritually, emotionally, make sure we're ready for Kabbalah Satorah. And Judith, I think that really that's part of our Masorah. Our Masorah is to use Sfiras Omer to Pachon or preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. To use Sfiras Omer for preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And for that reason, we have to be very, very careful. There is a custom some Jews have. Now it's not so popular because of the Daf Yomi. Some Jews have a custom that during Sfiras HaOmer they would learn a Masechta that had 49 blot. One blot a day. Masecha Sota, Masecha Shavuos, one blot a day. Why? But again, you don't have to learn one blot a day, but it's a nice thing to do something every day to prepare yourself. That's what this time is. That's what this time is. And therefore, if a person doesn't take advantage of this time, then it's a time of din. And that's what Rabbi Yaman, the brother Shibol Eleket, says. The brother Shibol Eleket points out, he says, do you know why? He says, we mourn during this time because we have to prepare ourselves. It's such an important time of year. And sometimes when we're too happy, we're overcome with joy. We forget about our responsibilities. And maybe we don't learn like we should. We don't work on perfecting ourselves like we should. And therefore, we have to somehow or another limit the joy. Not chas v'shalom, not be joyful. But we have to limit the joy. Okay. And therefore, the only iser that was added at first was not getting married. Because why? Because a simcha of a wedding, that is a time of really of unlimited joy, which is supposed to be. And therefore during Sfiras HaOmer, it's not the best environment to help us grow. And that's the reason that's what it means. It says that because we're punished during that time, doesn't mean we're punished. Because we're punished based on behavior in that time. And therefore the Chachamim, whoever it was in the time of the Gemara, the time of the Tanoim, who started this minhag, they were not doing it because Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim passed away. They were doing it because they wanted to limit the joy. And it could be that maybe it began, you know, after Bar Kokhba, after the rebellion of Bar Kokhba, at that time, in time of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, there was a rebirth of Torah. Torah started to grow again. And along with that came a lot of joy. And they wanted to limit that joy in some way because since they were so joyful, somehow or another, the Jews weren't preparing themselves enough. And that's the idea, because the Jews weren't taking this time of year responsibly enough. The time of year which a person's the judgment in Gehenna is definitely based on, because what I do during this time, how I prepare for Shavuos, how I behave on Shavuos, right? That is going to go ahead and going to affect the rest of the year. And that's also what Rabbi Yerucham holds. He holds, yes, Sfiras HaOmer is a time of din. What does it mean a time of din? It's a time of din if we don't behave properly. And therefore, they have to go ahead and they have to enact. They have to go ahead and enact these takanot in order to ensure that the Jews would behave properly, so it wouldn't be a time of din. And I actually remember my father, But I actually heard my father say, he was discussing going to movies during Sfiras HaOmer. Remember when this Shiloh was asked, at a time when the movies were much different than they are today. So saying that's nothing to do, okay? And at that time, he said that people want to know, is it mutter to go to a movie during Sfiras HaOmer? It's not mutter to go to a movie during Sfiras HaOmer. You know, halachically, you could explain that it's mutter. Why? Because what's also during Sfiras HaOmer? Going to a wedding. What's a wedding? A wedding is a simchas mereis. It's a party with many people of unbridled joy. He says, a movie is an individual experience. You know, everyone sits by themselves. You know, you start talking to somebody. So they'll shush you, right? You know, they'll shush you quickly. They wouldn't surely start talking to somebody during a movie. It's an individual experience. He says, but forget the halacha, he says. It's not within the spirit of Sfiras HaOmer. He says, Sfiras HaOmer is a time to grow. Want to go to a movie? Maybe it's mutter after Shavuos. But he says, a person shouldn't go to a movie between Sfiras HaOmer because he has to work on his growth. And I do remember certain times, certain shilas I had during Sfiras HaOmer, my father was actually, you know, that certain activities I should be involved in. A person should be involved in growth during Sfiras HaOmer. That's what Sfiras HaOmer is all about. And he said that Sfiras HaOmer is like the Seres Yimei Teshuva. Just like the Seres Yimei Teshuva, a person wants to grow, during Sfiras HaOmer, a person should grow also. So why don't we give that reason? So here's a letter, a historical theory. He said, and this certainly is the shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Shiboli Halakha, because they say, even though Chacham say one reason, there's another reason why we have this mourning period. He said, the reason is because the Rabbanim at that time knew that if they would get up and say, you know, we have to limit our joy because we have to hear Matan Torah, they would say, what? Limit our joy? It's Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, as the Ramban points out, in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Emor, source number 20, Parachachil, Pasuk Lam above, it's like a Chol HaMoed. In other words, Pesach is the first day of Chag, Shavuos is the second day of Chag, and Sfiras HaOmer, the Ramban says, is like a Chol HaMoed. So he says, and Kabbalah Satorah, we should control our joy, we should dance every night, we should have a band every night. This is how you're ready for Kabbalah Satorah. They knew the Jews wouldn't accept this reason, because the Jews want to be Mesameach. We know that, you know, from experience, they knew that once you talk about mourning for people that were killed, that Jews know how to do very well. So they couldn't give the real reason, and that's certainly the shita of Shibal Lech and Rabbeinu Yerucham, and they gave another reason. What does that mean? In other words, there was this minhag that was created. Why did they have this custom? So the Shibali Aleket, Rabbeinu Yerucham say, the reason why they had this custom was in order to make sure that we control our joy. So we're able to prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. However, how does it work? You know, I can make a custom too. Yeah, but very nice, I make a custom. I have to make sure it's accepted. So if the leaders at that time made a custom, created a custom, it has to be accepted. How is it accepted? They spoke Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. And later on, in the time of the Crusades, they added something else on. Because it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So I asked at the beginning, so now we understand. Why all these different men? What's the idea that the Mishnah Berurah says you can actually keep both Minhagim? Why? Because the whole point is not necessarily the mourning. The mourning is a means to end, to control the joy a little bit so we can grow. And therefore, the proper thing the Gaonim say is to grow during the whole time period. Therefore, if a person wants to grow the whole time period and control his joy the whole time period, that's beautiful. Let him go ahead and let him, as long as he uses it for growth. The Ikar here is not the mourning. The Ikar here is to use the time period for growth, to prepare yourself for Matan Torah. That's the more important part. That's the more important part. And that's also the reason, maybe, why there's so many different minhagim, what to do. Because again, it's not like 3 weeks. The important part is the morning. The important part is to make sure that we prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. So whatever was needed, whether it was from Pesach till Lag BaOmer, from Rosh Chodesh Iyar to Shlosh Yimei Hagbalah, it was the whole time, whatever the customs were, that's the reason why, because the purpose of the morning is a much different purpose than the purpose of mourning during the three weeks. And therefore, now we can understand that what's the point. What's the point of the mourning? I asked in the beginning, we can't bring back Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. Baruch Hashem, we have leaders. We have leaders, Torah leaders. Over the generations, we had great luminaries who really helped us. And the Torah has, Baruch Hashem, is in a good spot. And some people are learning in so many Svarim. What's the point? The point is for us to work on ourselves, to realize we have to prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. The point of mourning is to control the joy. The point of Sfiras HaOmer is to make sure that when Shavuos comes, Shavuos is not just for Shavuos. It affects us during the entire year. I'll tell you an interesting story that happened to me. It was in Chicago, Illinois. I was 17 years old, I think. So long ago. I forgot. 17 years old. And I was walking home with my father, Shavuos morning from yeshiva. We spent the whole night in yeshiva learning. And it was the month of June, probably. Maybe it was the end of May. I don't remember. But it was a beautiful Chicago day. Wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold. The air conditioning wasn't on in the house yet. And as I was walking home from shul, about a block from my house, and my father turns to me and says to me, it was like 8:15 in the morning, says, he used to call me Chaimke. Chaimke, do you want to hear Kiddush? I said, I'm exhausted, I'm going to bed, right? So he says to me, okay, but he says, you know, you have to get up before Chatzos to make Kiddush, otherwise you'll be fasting half a day, and it's usher to fast every day. I said, okay. At this point in my life, I don't remember, but I really intended to get up, not get up, but whatever, okay. Anyways, I hope I intended to get up before Chatzos. I assume I did. Chatzos in Chicago that time of year must have been about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so I think I probably would have gotten up. Anyway, so I was at that point, I was the only child in the house. Everyone else was, I was 18, was married, out of the house. I was the only one in the house. And I was sleeping in the room, had the windows open, beautiful day, nice Chicago breeze. And Chicago's the windy city. And I went to bed. Now, my father, we got home like 8:20, so that means by the time he made Kiddush, I'm not sure what he ate, and he made Ala Michya, and before he went to lie down, I'm sure he didn't make it to lie down till 9:15. Okay, so there I am sleeping. At 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, I wake up, and I hear a Kol Torah coming through the windows. Okay? So, you know, if I was living in Ramat Beit Shemesh, it'd be very simple. My neighbor's learning, someone down the block is learning. Well, I live in Chicago, you know, the closest religious Jew was half a block away. So I figured, who's learning? 11 o'clock in the morning, school this morning. So I went to the window. All of a sudden, I see my father on the porch, the front porch, which, by the way, he usually didn't learn in the front porch, but I guess it was Yontif. He wanted the nice breeze. He was learning on the front porch Gemara. So I was actually very fascinated because I made the calculation in my mind. He went to bed at 9 o'clock, 9:15, up the whole night. 11 o'clock, he's already, you know, he's already learning. I don't know when he started learning, right? I was actually kind of amazed. So I got dressed. I went downstairs. I opened the door. I said, Ava, he says, you're up already? Well, I heard you're learning. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm learning. I said, I know you're learning. But I said, you learned the whole night. So he looked at me and he said to me, what do you think? He said, I learned the whole night to sleep a whole day. I learned the whole night. I slept a little bit. I have to learn some more. Mishnah tonight. I'll go to bed after the meal. I'll sleep all night tonight. And that for me, okay, fine. But that was amazing. You know, okay, put it in the book. Got a little story, right? So I went back upstairs, got undressed, got back into bed, you know. And I'm lying there in bed and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I just saw the Shekhinah. What am I doing? So I actually got up, I got dressed, and I began to learn. And, you know, at this point in my life, I can't say I remember everything. I do everything I learned from my father, but that's one thing that's very strong in my mind. That Shavuos, you don't sleep the whole day. You get up, you learn before the meal. You know, after the meal, you can actually do a little chesed and watch the kids so your wife can sleep, and you can learn some more afterwards. I remember when I was living in Hamilton, Ontario. Say after the meal, I spent one Shavuos there. I was in the park with my kids, and one lady comes over to me and says to me, "Wow, you're up. I never saw a man take his kids to the park on Shavuos day." But this is what I learned. That what Shavuos, staying up Shavuos night, Sfiras HaOmer, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, is not for Sfiras HaOmer itself. It's not for Shavuos. It's basically to inspire us after Shavuos. And sometimes when we have too much joy, somehow we forget how to prepare. I just want to finish off that how do we prepare for Shavuos? What do we do? There's a fascinating, fascinating medrash quoting the Yalkut Shimoni. And the medrash says, source number 21, Parshas Emor, Parshas Chavches, the medrash says, La'olam altihi mitzvah to Omer kala beinecha. The mitzvah of Omer should not be leaning into your eyes. You shouldn't make fun of it. It's a mitzvah chashuva. Even though, what is it? A little bit, a sa'ora, what is it? A little barley. He said, because the mitzvah of barley, he said, because of this mitzvah of Omer, and Avraham Avinu was zochet to inherit the land. Rish Lakish says, because of this mitzvah of Omer, the mitzvah of Omer that a lady brings when she's accused of being a sota, that brings shalom bayis. Then other chazal say, that because of the mitzvah of Omer, the Jews were saved in the days of Gidon. And others say, because of the mitzvah of Omer, the Jews were saved in the days of Chizkiyahu. And Rabbi Levi says, because of the mitzvah of Omer, the Jews were saved in the days of Haman. When Haman came to take Mordechai, and Mordechai thought he was about to be killed, Haman says, what are you learning? And they were discussing the mitzvah of Omer, because it was Pesach. And he says, your mitzvah of Omer outweighed all the money that I gave. This mitzvah of Omer saved the Jews. What does that mean? The mitzvah of Omer saved the Jews. The mitzvah of Omer basically enabled the Jews to inherit Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Mitzvah of Omer brings shalom bayis. Father explained the mitzvah of Omer represents and symbolizes, and this he said many, many years, many times, is a small sacrifice. You know, we think we're ready to make the big sacrifices, but if you really want to accomplish something, you got to do little by little by little by little. And that's the mitzvah of Omer. And why were the Jews zocha to Eretz Yisrael? Because they're willing to make the small sacrifices of Eretz Yisrael. Why were the Jews zocha to Shalom Bayis? If you're willing to make small sacrifices of Shalom Bayis, whether it's the husband or the wife, that's what brings Shalom Bayis. And the Jews were saved in the days of Haman, not because they're willing to do that big Kiddush Hashem, but they committed themselves to day in, day out, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Sfira Sa'omer is about. Sfira Sa'omer is about preparing ourselves for Matan Torah. And as I said, the reason why there's Zavelas, at least the corner of Yeruchim, and to the brother of the Shival Alech, Rav Yaman, is because to enable us to prepare properly, to be in the right frame of mind so we can prepare ourselves properly. That's why we have Sfira Sa'omer. And to prepare us properly that the Sfira Sa'omer and Shavuos will affect us for the rest of the year. It will hold us through until the next Pesach. But how is that done? That's not done by staying up a whole night Shavuos. And it's not done by even learning a whole day of Shavuos. Some people don't want to stay up. It's hard to stay up. It's not done by davening properly on Shavuos. It's done by making the small sacrifices for Torah and mitzvahs, you know, during Sfiras Omer. And it inspires us that we have to keep doing that throughout the year. And if we learn to do that for Torah and mitzvahs, we'll do it for other important areas of our life. And that will enable us to be true Ovdei Hashem. So we should just use these days of Sfirat HaOmer to prepare ourselves for Talmud Torah, so it'll have a positive effect on us for the rest of the year.